And so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. I welcome those people who are joining in online. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. And every time you hear a ding, that's another person joining in on the phone line.
So I just was making a point. This is like a pre-talk BS session, and I was making a point, and the point was that, you know, I sent something out yesterday, and it was called informational, and it was like talking about this Canadian former prime minister who was doing an expose on the Illuminati. And it was very credible. He's credible. He's like a very prestigious person. You know, he had a big position. And he's talking about what the U.S. is doing. And, you know, and today I made one on chemtrails. I didn't send it out yet. But, okay, whoever just came in, just give me one second. But one of the things, I asked the question to the Elohim, and I said, is it good to talk about these things? Should we just focus on the higher stuff? And the response was that there was a value in talking about this stuff and that it was important. And essentially, what the value is there's two things. First of all, if they had their way, they would keep doing things to create hate, people hating each other in this realm, hating Arabs, hating whoever, right? And if people don't know what's going on and they don't have a clue, they're just going to believe what they read in the news. So I'm trying to write these things so it's something that people can share and that it doesn't sound too crazy. I'm trying to find credible sources of information so that with people in our group can say this is important and other people should know about it. The other thing about this stuff is the fact that when you know what's going on, you can put prayer intention energy into the universe to try to make some attempt at correcting it, okay? So that was their answer, okay? Now, I'm not that anxious.
Thank you for asking that, Wynn. I think that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not that anxious to put it out there like this. I'm really not, because I got enough to put out on all kinds of stuff, except, and plus, I don't know if putting it out makes me more of a target, right? Although so many people are talking about it now that I'm the Lone Ranger, and it's important for awareness of the public to know about these things, or else, part of the MO is to draw people into these polarizations where they hate the enemy, right? And hate cuts people off from higher energies, right? So that's the value of it, you know? It's important not to dwell on it. I mean, And it's kind of like it really works well if you get to the place where you're not afraid of dying. You really know on a cellular level that this is just one lifetime of a thousand or more, and that all they can do is kill you. No, I guess they can torture you as well. Hopefully, they just kill you. But the reality of this stuff, it's like, you know, if you just go for love, light, love, light, and put your head in the sand, you don't make as big an impact on the planet, okay, and on people's consciousnesses. You kind of limit it. So, you know, that's my take, and I'm going to shut up. And a bunch of people came in.
Hi, are you there? This is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. If it's okay with you, I'd like to get your email address from Wynn later. I have something very interesting to send you about Holland and the Dutch about 400 years ago that I think you'll get a kick out of.
All right. Bring it on.
Is that okay? So I can get your email from Wynn?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. Okay, Heis. That's great. Thanks.
Heis, do you have friends in Holland?
I have a bunch of friends in Holland, yes.
How would you like a translation of the Creator God book in Dutch?
I have that.
I sent it to you already?
Yeah, like a year or two ago.
Okay. All right.
But the thing is, you know, they are a certain polarity.
They're not going to be open to it, and they'll be less open to you, right?
I don't worry about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's really interesting. Some of us have people that live with us that think we're nuts, right? like Jim. Jim lives with us, and we can go outside and point to the chemtrails, and he can't see them.
What?
Jim, is that right?
Hey, Brother Wynn.
Hey, Chris, welcome to the call.
What's going on?
All right, man. I'm glad to be here. I hope you're glad to be here as well.
Is Terry here?
Yes.
Terry is here, right, Terry? Hi, sister.
Hi.
Terry, what are you doing?
Welcome.
What are you doing here on time?
Well, I have to get here earlier. I can't get in anymore.
Okay. Well, I just walked in the door. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Both on the line and in the door.
What's that?
Both on the line and in the door.
Okay. And let me
hear you in stereo.
Get on the console. And
all right.
Let's see if I got any last-minute questions for tonight. Now, you guys that are listening in the Peanut Gallery, okay? You know what a Peanut Gallery is, guys?
No.
Who knows
what a
Peanut Gallery
is? It's howdy doody time.
Right. you're too young, guys, okay? You're too young. Hi, Rosia. I see your question here. You know, I have been giving other people the chance to ask questions, so that's why I don't always go to yours. And that, me, I put it in there, okay?
Before you get too serious, Vin. We're not recording yet at this point.
I know.
All right.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get serious, man. Okay?
Well, serious, as long as you're... Before your words become too valuable to not record, let's say it that way.
Yeah.
Mama.
I mean, it's so great. Have you guys? The guys that call it on the phone, it's very cool because it's like you really know somebody's listening. They're there, okay? And you know, we feel the energy from the people on the internet. Of course, the Elohim can tune in to you, but we're still dumb humans down here. So I can feel you, but I it's just so great because every so often I get an email from somebody that's listening on the internet, and they are telling me how we've changed their life. And the first time I ever heard of them, you know? And they start, they have some kind of phenomenal experience. They connect with these sources. And it's amazing. It's amazing to get that feedback. Okay. So,
can you feel me, Wynn?
Chris?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel you a lot.
Oh, no. That's a rock cover.
And, you know, I know you're trying. Are you in my blanket now?
Actually, I'm getting it tomorrow.
You're getting it tomorrow?
Yeah, it's
okay, let me know how it goes. That must be Terry making all that noise, right?
No, it's not.
Wow.
It's all the lines are open, John.
I know.
What do you mean by blanket?
You see that, Chris? I'm not going to tell you. We'll tell you another time, okay?
Yeah, I wasn't going to get into it.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, Chris is muted. You know, Daphne used to say that I was like Howard Stern's meeting the Elohim.
You look like him.
I do?
Uh-oh.
Hives, you're fired.
I thought it was a compliment to you.
I think we have common-sized noses, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah, we have big noses.
Then when, and had the one picture where you have your curly hair with your shades on.
Yeah. Does that look like Howard?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, Howard had all these people on his call, like Stuttering John, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Could you try stuttering a little bit?
Okay. Win.
you can be stuttering, Chris.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, we're recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is March 25th, 2015, and Win and Terry in Sedona, and everybody everywhere else. Hi, the Magalia. And Chris in Memphis, and we have Ron, and who else do we have here tonight? And he said Don Herman, and Marilyn in Pittsburgh, and Terry in Las Vegas. Hi, Terry in Las Vegas. Don't answer me back. You're muted. Just letting you know, we know you're there. It's nice to have you. Now, if you guys have a blocked number, we're not going to know you're there. We'll feel your vibration, but we can't read it. Eric in Santa Fe. Hi, Eric. Wait a second. Eric, are you there?
Hey, Wim. How are you?
I unmuted you.
Oh.
You have something exciting to tell everybody?
Well, I was just fixing some rice and listening to the starting of the show, but I haven't been on for a while. Been listening to the replays, but now my schedule at work, I'm just working half days on Wednesday, so I'm here.
Are you working in a hotel there?
Yeah. Yeah, I still work in the hotel's concierge.
Yeah. Eric works in really ritzy hotels, right?
Ritzy, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty ritzy.
Right. So we can't afford to stay. Can you get us a deal if we come there?
Yeah, usually in the off season, but we'll make it. We'll work some magic.
Okay. I mean, you know, when you're in the place where everything is one, even Motel 6 really rates, you know?
Right.
Unless your neighbors are noisy, which happens more at Motel 6 than it does at the Ritz-Carlton.
That's true.
We shouldn't say the name of your hotel, because people will start dropping in and say, where is the concierge, right?
Right, okay. Right. But, you know, the worst is when you stay at a Ritz-Carlton for a weekend and then you go home to your apartment. It's like the real world's back. That's really tough. Yeah, it's pretty different.
You know what somebody should do? Somebody should create a maid service that makes your apartment look like a hotel, right?
That is a great idea.
You know that?
Yeah.
And I'll bet that would go over, right? People could just call their maid up, and they'd have everything would be as clean and as crisp as an expense. I think what's great about hotels and motels, especially if they keep themselves up, is that you walk into a room and there's no energy in there. They just cleanse the energy so that it's like a brand new room, and that's why people love motels and hotels.
Yeah.
Except, you know, it's a lot of work to do that, so it's expensive. You know,
so it is.
That's why, you know, you get what you pay for in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
my favorite part is I enjoy the people. The people is the energy. And working is the only craft I've ever had, so I've been doing it for 30 years. But working for service for others and being able to give and give and give, you get so much back. And it's not really being a servant. You're just you're doing service, and people really appreciate that. And the energy it creates and the connection is really it's amazing. So it's not really a job. It's just sort of you're living your life. It's a passion.
Well, you're one of those lucky wanderers that figured it out, right?
Very blessed, yeah.
Because you know, you guys that don't understand this is really a key. And the key is, if you're a wanderer, if you're a starseed, you've got to figure out a way that shares energy with people in your job, or else it's boring. Else it's restless. You know, wanderers come into this realm with a huge amount of energy. And if they have to find a way to discharge that energy, or else it backs up on them, and they get things like ADD, and they start thinking they're crazy and they don't fit. And it's like a personal puzzle that every person has to work out for themselves. But how are they going to find a way to spend their days where they can release all that energy that's in them? And sometimes they don't even know they have all that energy because they've gotten so used to repressing themselves. Because it's too much for most people unless you get into the right environment. And so they think there's something wrong with them. I used to be this way. Jeez, I drive people crazy because I was trying to figure out how to fit into the world. And I didn't fit. And I know a lot of you feel that way. So the concierge is a really great way to constantly be giving to people. I mean, I wish everyone can't be a concierge, because Eric has the qualities of being very gracious. He knows how to deal with the elite, and he's handsome. So, you know, if you're going to face the public in a situation like that, those kind of qualities really help. I could have never been a concierge. I mean, when I was young, I used to hate rich people. I said, I used to hate authority figures. And it took me a long time to get over that because I realized that in the physical world, in the physical realm, you just have to have authority figures because there is ownership. If somebody owns a house, they own a business, and you walk into their business and you don't, honor their domain, you're going to get thrown out. Even if you have a job, even if it's a bad job, even if your boss is really bad, you still have to honor his domain while you're in his business because it's his domain. And then either you have to, if you don't like it, you either have to leave his domain or you have to inspire him to change it and expand it. But you can't be in somebody's domain and not respect the rules of the domain. Just like Jesus said, give unto Jesus that which is Jesus, or give unto me, and give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Because if you're living in a city, it's got laws, it's got police, and it's really good to honor the domain you're in, or else leave it. Because if you are a rebel, you're going to get in trouble. It's not going to work. So, Eric, thank you for... Thank you for letting me put you on the spot.
It's always good visiting with you, and I love everybody out there, so put me on the spot anytime.
All right, great. There's certain people, if I did that with them, they'd call me up after the call and say, what did you do that for? You embarrassed me. But you know what? It's like part of being put on the spot is not caring what people think. Because the truth of the matter is people only think things about you when you're worried about it. When you're not worried about it, they don't think things about you. They feel that, and they feel you trying to look a certain way and impress them and to be acceptable. And then you end up not being acceptable. Hi, this is Ariel on the call.
I have not seen her, no.
Where are you, Ariel? We're getting
Beth,
ready.
You know what? Let me look. Don't forget, Ben, it's 6:18 in the meantime.
Okay, we're going to go. Just a moment. We didn't get a whole bunch of questions tonight. I don't see Ariel here. Okay?
Oh, yeah, see, I know. That's not wrong.
She's
Does she have a new number? Is this Ariel what?
She's 928.
Is it Ariel with one I muted? I guess not.
I don't see her. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me see her. Who else can I embarrass? Terry Kopecki in Boulder City. Are you there?
I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
How's your dog?
She's passed over a year ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Terry and I spent the night at your little cottage, didn't we, one time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Terry sings. Are you still singing?
Well, I wasn't for quite a while, but just recently started up again, and it feels pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. If we weren't running so late, I'd have you sing us a song.
Okay.
But we got to go. We got to get to our call. I'm muting you, Terry. Thanks for saying hello, okay? And let's see. Jerry Brown, are you on the air?
I just want to mention, in case Ariel is on the phone, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself.
I don't think she's on. I don't see her number here.
Okay.
You know, she's supposed to be on because we were going to put her. She's been making little sage things and making arrowheads. And so we're going to put those out really soon so she can pay her rent. And the really good news is, this is really good news. She's got her Social Security accepted. You know, she was eligible for Social Security, but she was too and it's an example of how to get to, you know, if you want to get Social Security, as many of you know, if you have to go into the system, you got to deal with the authority figures and, you know, the Social Security office and the hearing and, you know, putting together paperwork and submitting it. And she's been too untogether to do that for a long time. So since she has been semi-stable at this RV park in Arizona, and since we have been paying her, helping her pay her rent, doing fundraisers, doing whatever, you know, and she's very grateful to all of that. And so this month, in the next few days, I'm going to put out some sage and some arrowheads, and she's going to use that to pay her rent. And you know, you guys have been really, really generous. It's hard to do this. You know, I'll tell you why it's hard. Because, you know, I know there's other people on this line that are struggling. And I would like to do this for everyone. But I can't. There's not enough money. And it would, you know, it would become, you know, at some point. With Ariel, there was an end point where she could get her Social Security, where she was so dysfunctional that, I'm sorry when I say that, she would agree. She was dysfunctional. She couldn't anchor herself in this realm. And she's been running around the country for years, you know, living under trees and living in the wild. You know, she has all these innate abilities to live in nature. And, you know, she has Native American background in this life. And, of course, we did the show on her where there was a lot of indications that she was connected to Sacagawea and may have been Sacagawea. And so she's been a hero in the past. And, she's been coming into our call for 5 years. And she got to a place in her life where I think she would have died if I didn't do something. And so I did. And so we've just kept the energy up on it. So she can, see, I have the feeling as she gets together, she'll help a lot of other people. She really wants to. She has a total dedication to service and God and spirit and the Elohim. And maybe if she was here, I wouldn't say all this, okay? But in any case, I know she always tells me, thank the group for helping me. And so I'm extending that to you all from Ariel. And now we're going to start. Terry, tell me you're unmuted.
I'm unmuted.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone here. and any negativity be taken to the highest realm of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, and we greet you in the light of one infinite creator. We are delighted to be here and to be available to each and every one of you who wish to be touched, who wish to connect. And we are here. We come straight to you. We do not come over the telephone line or over the computer. It is through the direct contact we can. It is the voice that comes over the computer and over the telephone line. We express our appreciation for this opportunity to serve. Do you have questions?
Yeah, our first question tonight is from Wolfgang von Baumgart. Probably said that wrong. Wolfgang von Baumgart in Delaware. And he has a question about location. And beyond seismic activity levels, in other words, beyond being out of the path of a potential earthquake, does each person have an optimum latitude and longitude based on energy alignments, etc.? Does each person have a unique combination of frequencies beyond common universal frequencies? If so, how can this be evaluated, quantified, and applied for enlightenment and constructive purpose? And I just like to mention, years ago, when I did astrology, which I haven't done for a long, long time, but they used to say that your chart, all the energies in your chart, would tend to ground in certain locations better than other locations. And so I think that's true. And then in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the Ra group said something to the effect that it's very important to be grounded with people, and that it seemed like they were saying that took precedence. If you were in a location and you knew people, if you didn't know people, I guess it wouldn't matter. But if you had a group that you felt connected with in a given location, that you ground your energy and your flowing energy into the location because you ground it there. And if you go somewhere else, even if you might have a better astrological configuration in that other area, it seemed like the area where you have people you're connected to is more important. And I don't know if that's true or not. You can add that to Wolfgang's question. Thank you.
Thank you. In some of the earlier channelings, the information was brought through that an individual when they are in a certain area. For instance, if they were born in a certain area, then would take a snapshot in their body matrix of the energies, not just of the location, but of the greater location, of the meridians, of the planets, of the stars in relationship to them. This serves as an orientation as each planet and star would have a greater or lesser degree of projection of energies to the individual, which would then be a grounding, a orientation that the person would live and adjust his life to. When an individual is in a certain location, they may reincarnate back into that location. They may have a city that in the GPS, in the orientation, it seems comfortable and they operated well within that city and then would come back in that area. It is not only the configuration of the planets and the stars, but it is the configuration of the country, of the land, of the nutrition that takes its way into the food from the soil, of the smell of the air, of the getting used to the seasons or not having seasons. So one becomes comfortable with a location and much in the same way they come, they get in connection with a soul group that they are reincarnated in over lifetime after lifetime. When you mention connection, connection is important, and it can be senior to location in that the people that one connects to can be very important to their growth and to their ability to build a group. So connection with others is very important in location.
So if you had a number of lifetimes in a particular location, there will be a tendency to want to reincarnate back to that location because your energies are grounded to the physical earth in that location. Is that what I understood?
That is correct, to the earth and to the location and configuration of the meridians and the star groups. So someone may reincarnate into the northeast of the United States over and over, and is part of their familiarity in the setting up of their life, the foundation blocks of their life.
Now, obviously, we've had lots of lifetimes, and probably many of us have grounded ourselves in different locations during different lifetimes. Does that mean that if we went to one of those locations that we had previously been grounded to, that we might feel very comfortable there?
Yes, you might get feelings of deja vu, like this is a very comfortable location to be in. Like, for instance, Terry had a lifetime in Rome, where at one point she was discouraged, and she went and she lay on the Alpine Way and looked at the trees. And this area was comforting to her, the trees and the calmness there, and helped her. So Italy is one place where she feels comfortable, and each individual has their own place or their own recollection in their subconscious of what it means to be, what it feels like to be in a certain location.
Thank you. Next question from Bonnie Pinners in Las Vegas. And I am writing this from my hotel room in Vegas. I just had a long moment with what I believed to be the Elohim Ra'an. I believe while calling in the light, I could sense a bubbling up of energy from inside me, a kind of dust that was being taken to the highest realms of light. I saw myself in the flow of energy and started spinning within it like a dust devil. This made me think of the weather and storms in the past. My question is simple. Was that an energetic connection with what I am, imagining is the Elohim, or with Ra'an, as I feel a shift when I think of it? Was this experience all that I imagined it is? Thank you.
Yes, you are what you are. It is not a connection with you. It is you with a connection to the higher forces and the joy of connecting. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ariel asked, can Elohim work with my friend Wendy, who is laid up with a broken neck? And I'm sorry to say, I should know where Wendy is. Maybe I should skip that. Maybe you can find her through Ariel. But otherwise, I should ask it again when I know Wendy's location. I think it might have been I think it was Boise, Idaho, actually. Okay, I'm pretty sure it was Boise.
Wendy is having a difficult time, and as she is open to it, we can work with her. She is struggling mightily and struggling against the disability in the body. And the struggle makes it worse for her to relax and have some peace and allow the relaxing to bring in a healing energy.
I'll tell Ariel to play that for Wendy, and maybe that will help her. Cleo asks, Cleo in Connecticut asks, when someone has passed and his spirit is in paradise, now, we don't usually use the word paradise, and when a spirit passes, there's lots of places they can go to. So I'll let our sources handle the vocabulary as they choose. Is it possible, if you so desire, not to reincarnate, but to stay there forever? Would he be allowed to do so?
Thank you. We have an energy in their ideal of what it is like to reach paradise after the transition of the body. And it is held out as a reward and a goal. We say life continues and is not always as one projects that it will be. One can reach moments of paradise and ecstasy in approaching the transition after disconnection with the body in the euphoria of having disconnected from the body and the body's pain and the heavy frequencies of the body and the minerals of the composition of the body. One can feel very euphoric upon disconnecting from the body and being exterior. However, it is most likely a temporary phase that the individual goes through. If they can stay connected with that energy, then they can continue to experience it. However, in the desire for connection and for companionship and for experiencing of the light experience at the higher realms, one begins to go through changes. Also, things that the person carried with them, conflicts that they had not totally worked out, that they think maybe they will be left behind. They may come into the foreground and drag a person out of their paradise state. Can one be there forever? It is what it is, and it is unlikely that they will be there forever, but they are welcome to create it for as long as they create it. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that what happens, just, you know, the reason I put my two cents in is because I have my experience of being in a body, and I might say something from my level that may add something to that. And that the universe and everything in the universe, from my perspective, is in a flow. It's in a constant flow. And it's the only way to stay at a high place is to participate in the flow of the universe. The universe is in the now, and every moment is in that. As you can stay in the now, you can stay in the flow. And many of you have probably noticed in relationships are often one of those areas where we have exalted experiences, where suddenly our patterns that have go away, and we seem to be free and alive and powerful and loving. And on some point in that relationship, to keep that energy, it has to go into flow. And if you don't, the energy drops out. There's emotion required to keep things high. William Blake, the poet, said, "He who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. But he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy." And from my levels, that's true, that you have to be in motion somehow or another to keep the energy moving. Thank you, Cleo. This is a question from Leticia in northern San Diego, in Camp Pendleton. And this is a good question. I think it many of us can relate to it. And thank you for asking it, Leticia. I am on parole, and I'm fighting against my own self in remaining sober. I finally got a job. I don't want to lose it on Camp Pendleton. This past Monday, I drank a lot of alcohol, and I tested urine for the drug program I am in 36 hours after drinking. If I test positive, they will make me quit my job. So the first question here is, I have been struggling with cravings, and I think the question is, how can I, she didn't say this, she just left it there, but the real question is, how can I master my cravings?
One of the things is to be sure to get enough basic nutrition. You can research programs on the internet of how to get basic nutrition. For instance, Joel Wallach has a nutrition program that is very adequate. Dr. Marshall has a nutrition program that is very adequate. When one gets enough nutrition, that craving for sweetness and even the craving for alcohol can diminish. Also, there are psychological components to the craving for alcohol, the desire to feel very, very good and relaxed, which this can bring about, and the feeling of belonging or whatever it is that is the payback from the drinking can compel one to drink more. When one feels this craving, one can supplement themselves with, say, be sure and get enough B vitamins. That can help eliminate such cravings. When one gets enough of the right nutrition, then these substances do not create such a draw and can even seem like they are no longer needed. But one needs to keep one's blood sugar level high so that's with good nutrition, so the body is well sustained and does not crave the alcohol. There is a certain disconnection of a person's problems and a certain relaxation that comes in with the drinking of the alcohol. And so one needs to be able to set those things aside. Don't eliminate them. Just set them aside when one goes through the job and maybe bring them in a little at a time to deal with one thing at a time, not the whole jumble of everything. Maybe one thing to work on and to make better. And setting those other things on the shelf so that you become operational. Even those little things are still there. They are not in center stage, so to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vin, check your Gmail, please.
Okay. We have a question from Everett in Phoenix, Arizona. My son, Eric Gregory, who was 20 years old, passed away last weekend in Winslow, Arizona. Could you please check on him to see if he's okay and help him through his transition? Thank you so much.
What is his name?
His name is Eric Gregory. His father is Everett in Phoenix.
Thank you. At this time, he is seeking more solitude. He is seeking solitude and peace. And it is a stage that he is going through at this time. His soul is intact, and he is working through the transition at this time and seeks solitude while he makes this adjustment.
Thank you. Joanna, submit your question next week. I don't think we'll have time. We've got one more question tonight. And just a moment. From Don Herman. And Don asks, he read a book called The Akashic Experience, and he wanted some explanation for something he read in the book. So I'm quoting here. When I go into meditation, this is not Don, this is the author of the book, or one of the authors. When I go into meditation, I simply concentrate on oneness with the essential universal vibration. I am one with the universe. When we have experienced this oneness, there is no further need for us to strive or endure or make efforts. No need to learn from any teacher. We only need to be in the oneness. We only need to make the connection. My comment is, it sounds easy, but it's not. But if you do it, well, what our sources say, what Don's question is, what do the sources think of this idea? If they agree, could they expand on it? Thank you.
What does this have to do with the Akashic Record?
Well, that was the name of the book, okay? And this was just something that a contributor of the book. It sounds like maybe there were different people's essays in the book. So it doesn't have anything to do with the Akashic Records, except that's the book he read it in.
Thank you. This is a path that many follow to become one with one and all. And then to be able to be absorbed into the Godhead, and in order to reach this, one needs to be fulfilled in different roles and different objectives that they have. When one has things they are working on, goals, connections they wish to achieve, then this path is not so attractive and they will not pursue it until at some much later time, perhaps, they become fulfilled. And one can become fulfilled in many things because one has received fulfillment in one section of their life, in one aspect of their life. They can take on fulfillment, a goal, in other aspects and other growth. It is a path that some pursue where as they move up through the higher ranks, they lose the memory as they become one with all. It is written in some religions, this path. Thank you.
Thank you. So, if I was interpreting what you're saying, this path is not necessarily an ultimate path to strive for, but if you find yourself in it, then you can work it. Is that accurate?
There are groups that move into higher and higher dimensions, and they take this path on, and as they move into the higher dimensions, their memory and their connection with the lower dimensions can vanish. And one whole group may have this as their generalized goal. It may not be, it is not individuals that find themselves in the their density in general do not have that goal, and that goal may seem abhorrent even to them as they are into experience and life, and they do not have the desire at that time to reunite to the One.
Thank you. We'll bring this call to a close. Do you have any closing words for us before we say goodbye to everybody?
It is our profound feeling of love and joy that we are able to take this opportunity to be with you. And we hear your requests, whether you put them on the air or not. We work with the gentleman's son and are there for him when he wishes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, Hives. And
all callers are unmuted.
We're unmuted, and we'll see you on Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Great night, everybody.
Sunshine to
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry. Thank you, Ice.
Thank you. Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Ice.